It's wonderful to be here. I've been looking forward to this, and there is a particular reason why. And I'd never experienced it before coming all this way, coming down here. The fog, dense fog seemingly. And it was just very interesting. When you crossed the line in Shawnee, the highway there, you crossed it and it was like it was gone. It was just a big clearing, but then it came back again. So the visibility was sometimes low or shallow coming down here. And then coming out here and getting, stepping foot in the ground in the grass, it's like walking on a blanket out here or like a pad. It's soft and mushy. It's nice. It's like carpet. I'm telling you, the grounds out here, it's like carpet. As was discussed or mentioned a few moments ago, is the coming Lord's Supper service. The Lord's Supper service, where Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Something that is done by his commandment in remembrance of him. So this might be a bit of a carryover from last Sabbath. I was not here last Sabbath. I was at Westside. And Pastor Ed asked me to speak because he had another shot in his eye. He's had up to, I think, 29 or 30 shots in his eye, whichever eye it is. So he was concerned about his vision, you know. So anyway, so he asked me to speak, which I'm thankful to be able to do that. The title last week was The Time for Christ. And so we've been doing some lesson study. We've been going over some materials that have been put out years ago, a Bible study lesson. I believe it's called The Bible Home Instructor. And we have been calling it, it's been called The Steps to Truth Personal Bible Study Course. And there's 28, 29 lessons or something like that. So we've been going through it, editing, and because the language is based back in the 50s, 60s, and some things have changed since then. And so, and then there's certain words that are not contemporary, I guess. So trying to make it easy, and actually trying to also see if there's anything that might lead to doubts regarding certain doctrines or things that might have been embellished upon. So the time for Christ. I would like to start in the book of John, and knowing that we have one more Sabbath before the Lord's Supper. There's this Sabbath, and then there's the next Sabbath. And it being an ordinance, we believe that an ordinance that Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me," taking of the unleavened bread and of the, we use grape juice. We don't use the fermented wine. We use grape juice. Back in the Old Testament, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, or it's somewhere in the Old Testament that there's a reference to the pure blood of the grape, that being the juice inside a grape that's not fermented, grape, pure. And so we treat Jesus, his blood, as pure. But he symbolizes purity and righteousness. He was without sin. He was without sin. So, So if we start in John, and I think we might start around John chapter 5 or 6. There's something about Jesus that I guess can compel us. the way he lived, how he witnessed in the world, what he came to do. I'd like to consider the setting leading up to the Lord's Supper. Leading up to the Lord's Supper, what happened at the Lord's Supper, I know I'm not going to be able to cover a lot. There's a lot that could be covered. So the scene and the setting in John chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus said, I bear witness of myself and my... He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I knoweth that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. So I wanted to try to help set a stage or ease into or lead into what Jesus went through. There were miracles that were done by him. There were people believing in him. And at the same time, brethren, there were Pharisees, the religious. There were the religious that hated him, that wanted him dead. And they were really after him. If you follow the narrative and throughout his life, his ministry. But I like John. John seems rich in the dealings, in the interaction. As we watch the flow. In verse 42, he said, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another? How can ye believe, in verse 44, this is John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So he's trying to show them the belief. He's trying to get them to believe, to understanding that he didn't come from himself, that he testified of his Father. The Father sent him. So if we go down into, he did other miracles in John chapter 6. You may know the story where he had the people sit down and people were hungered. And verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were sat down bread. And likewise of the fish, as they would. And when they were filled, all these people, how many people was it here, brethren? Was it like 5,000? Is that right? A great multitude? I don't see the number here. Well, I'm not seeing the number, but it was a great multitude. In verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. How about that? Does that apply to a remnant few of people? Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Can we apply that to the church? Great care should be for the church that remain, that nothing be lost. I appreciate that. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Okay, so that was a miracle. That was very interesting. You know, the fish being manifest, and there were fragments that remained. Here's another about the unbelief. Trying to use parables, and in verse 26, and what is this? John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Do you recall when Jesus said, he said he was the bread of life? That he was the bread of life. And there were contentions with the Pharisees or the Jews that they were, I don't know if they were mocking him, deriding him, murmuring, saying, how does this man, in verse 48, he said, "I am the bread of life." Let's see. In verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus answered, Murmur not among yourselves. And so back down in verse, 48? "I am the bread of life." I am. I can't help but appreciate that authority. This is Jesus, the Son of God, saying, "I am that bread of life." He talks about the fathers eating manna in the wilderness. And he says, I underline that, "and are dead." Notice that, "and are dead." They're not in heaven. "And are dead." I am, in verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Jews strove among themselves. So he was just this contention, this life that Jesus, the Son of God, was living and he was making manifest. He was living before their eyes. All these people, miracles, faith in him, healings, and contentions. And him being ridiculed. Let's see what he says here in verse 53. Then Jesus, this is 6:53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man," except ye eat, brethren, "and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." No life. So I had to ask this question, if Jesus, let's see if I go over to this other page here. Christ and absolutes. I actually wrote that down last night. Yes, this is one of the verses I wrote down. "Except ye eat, ye have no life in you." In verse 27, labor not for that meat which perisheth. Is that where? Maybe I read that already. Yes, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Okay. In verse 32, was it? Yes. That "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." The true bread. The Heavenly Father did not give false bread from heaven. I have to wonder, can Satan give, if he is the prince of the power of the air, if he is the god of this world, can he give false bread from heaven? Because in the New Testament, if I recall, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers. I have to wonder if there's false doctrines from churches on high, seemingly, famous preachers, giving out false bread, and the people are eating it. They're eating it. They're getting the wrong nourishment, brethren. Really. They're getting the wrong spiritual nourishment. It's wrong. It's just wrong. "I am that bread," yes. In 35 and 48, yes. "I am that bread." Living bread, verse 51. Okay. Okay, so where are we at here? We're in John. Okay, so we're in 6. Okay, so and let's go to chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles is at hand. And people were wondering about his works that he was doing. And he says in verse 6, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. And do you recall that when he was betrayed by Judas, when he was betrayed, that his hour was at hand, that was his hour. And I can't help but think about, oh, hey, this is good, a hinge, or things a turning point. Hey, hinge. Yes, a hinge. Isn't that something, a turning point, a hinge? You can make a hinge with your hands, Mara. You can make a hinge, a turning point. It's closed, it's open. She's not listening, but it's closed, it's open. See? A hinge. A change. And that's something. He turneth the world upside down. Because the world wants it this way. But Jesus comes, he turns it upside down. The direct opposite. Anyway, that's just an illustration. I caught regarding the word illustration. I talked to Brother Marley, Guy Marley in Fort Smith. Because I asked him two weeks ago, about this, knowing what's coming up, the Lord's Supper. I want to ask him the question, how would we feel about this? If we were with the 12, or if we were standing back and watching what was going on, how would we feel? What would we see? The interactions. Put ourselves there in that scene, in that situation. Okay, so John chapter 7, in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Notice, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I have to just think about Jesus saying this at one of the feasts, and he said, let him come unto me and drink. Me. The focus being on Christ. So we have more belief, unbelief. We have more turning the world upside down, I guess you could say. If we go into chapter 8, John 8, let's see. He's saying to a woman here, a woman, where are those thine accusers? In verse 10, hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. They were these men expecting her to be stoned right on the spot? Stoned on the spot. I can't help but think, we were talking about the Sabbath this morning. I can't help but think about the man that was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. What are we to do with him? And was it the Almighty that gave that judgment? Thou shalt surely stone him for gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Why? What is it that people are doing on the Sabbath day? This, that, and the other. Remember the Sabbath. I had to ask this question a few weeks ago. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do you think about that word holy? Holy. We're supposed to be partakers of the divine nature. Divine. What's another word for holy? He hallowed it. Hallowed it. Is it in Deuteronomy where it said he sanctified? He sanctified. And hallowed it. Other people have used a word for the seriousness of putting something aside and magnifying it, consecration, consecrating something. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it sanctified. I know this word is not in the Bible, but other people, even I believe the Catholic Church, they have things called sacraments, something that's called considered sacred. So I have to think, can I apply that to the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it sacred. Is it that important? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it sacred. Regarding the Lord's Supper, and watching and beholding Christ, the things he went through for us, the shame. This is the Son of God. Such authority that he carried, representing the Heavenly Father, representing kingdom, representing eternity. In verse 32 of John chapter 8, chapter 30 actually, as he spake these words, many believed on him. See, brethren, people were believing on him. That's wonderful. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, even Jews, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, and they question him regarding being Abraham's seed, and anyway, so they were still trying to catch something out of his mouth. They were still doing that. They actually ridiculed him while he was on the cross, brethren. In verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Brethren, this is not good. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode. Notice that. He abode not in the truth. Notice that word abode, not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So that was, again, there were still just contentions. He fought for truth, brethren. He stood for truth and he fought for truth. Okay, so if we go on into chapter 10, where Jesus says, he speaks in parables, and verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He speaks of the thief, and he speaks that he's the good shepherd. In verse 36, I thought this was interesting. Do you recall in Genesis, I believe, where the Almighty says something strange, and there's been debate on this. Let us make man in our image. I can't deny that the word us is there. Us is plural. Let us make man in our image. Some have said, even in the church, that is not referring to Christ. Yes. I've had to consider that. Would you know, Pastor Walker, he pointed this out in one of the sermon videos. He mentioned that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, for he sent not his son into the world. He made a, this was at either Worcester or Fort Smith or wherever this was, or it's on the website, I think, on YouTube. He pointed out that God, he was already a son, Jesus was already his son before he sent him. If you look at the wording on that, it kind of makes sense. Do you notice in verse 36 of John chapter 10:36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world? Isn't that something? Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. That's important. That's important. Lazarus is coming up here. Lazarus being dead. Jesus wept. Was it Mary or someone said he's going to be stinky? But Jesus said that God need be glorified to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he did. He raised him from the dead. And you know what? That's an interesting thing. Think about the hatred, brethren, that even that they were going to, the Jews were going to kill Lazarus because people were believing. Lazarus was at risk. Isn't that something? Here's a man raised from the dead, but Jesus was ruffling feathers. People were, the notoriety, I guess you could say, they were mad. So, okay, so let's go to John chapter 12. If we mosey on into John chapter 12, let's see. In John chapter 12, verse 23, and Jesus answered them and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So, brethren, Jesus knew what I made mention last time? That Jesus knew. Yes, here we are. Okay, Jesus knew. He knew what was going to happen. And again, I want to think about this scene. In verse 13, notice the praise, brethren. Notice the praise. When he came into the, where was this? He came into, on the next day, much people went out when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Notice in verse 13 of John chapter 12. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Notice that glory, brethren. They were saying, Hosanna! And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not. Brethren, notice this, fear not, daughter of Sion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. So, and just, brethren, look at this heart. And this is an evil heart in verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. There's joy, but the world has gone after him. The Pharisees did not like that. So Jesus saying that the hour has come, the buildup. Think about the buildup, what's coming up. Again, I can't do it. I cannot do it justice. I cannot. But the scene. Okay, yes, there it is. The world has gone after him. There it is. And Jesus, the hour has come. Notice verse 27. Now is my, this is Jesus saying this. Now is my soul troubled. Jesus saying his soul was troubled. Can you think about the weight of the world being on him? Again, that hinge. I can't bend this, but that hinge. The turning point. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Brethren, this hour. this specific, very specific point in time, this hour, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So, yes, now is my soul troubled. And let's see, in verse 46, Jesus said, in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Notice that word abide. We mentioned a previous verse that said Satan, he abode not in the truth. Living. Can that word mean living? Or remaining? Or staying in the truth? Or walking in the truth? Okay. Let's see. Now, so let's go on into chapter 13. This, regarding the Passover, the Jews' Passover. And in verse 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Notice, brethren, here we have something that's very specific. Notice these literal steps. Some may say that this is not to be taken seriously, or it's merely symbolic. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, meaning betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. He rises, notice the steps here. He riseth from supper. He laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Brethren, there's four things right there that are pretty specific. Next, after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, was that speculation? Is there proof? Did Peter confirm that? Do we see by his speech? Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Note, he was going from disciple to disciple. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? So he was washing feet. Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Brethren, this is critical. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Thou hast no part with me. And you recall, Peter said, Also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew, in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So Judas was here, brethren. So after that, he had washed their feet. I don't see where it says he washed only 11 pairs of feet, or 11 feet. He took his garments again and he sat down. He said, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and say ye well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. If Jesus, the Son of God, did that, because he talks about the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. That's an interesting thing that Jesus, is he implying here? He's not greater than the Heavenly Father that sent him. So, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy and joyful. Isn't that something that we take it seriously? I know Pastor Walker mentioned on some Passover sermons the seriousness of it and the solemn assembly. And it's if two or three gathered in his name, Jesus in the midst, it's precious time, brethren. It's precious time when we do this together. And following, I guess, the Hebrew calendar of the 14th of Nisan. Okay, so you have one more Sabbath after this one. And then it's the following Tuesday, if I recall it. Sundown, Tuesday, the April 4th. Yeah. Tuesday, April 4th. Okay. This scene, brethren, where he said he's going to be betrayed. And it's going to be fulfilled in verse 17, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Do you know that there's a verse that says that the Lord is good to all? Did Judas experience, did he partake of the goodness of the Son of God on that night? So, in verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Brethren, it was about to happen. And he did not stop it. He did not stop it. Then this is why I was wondering when I was chatting with Brother Marley, and maybe I asked some of their brethren. I would ask you, brethren, if any one of us was there, what would we see? What would we feel? What would we see? Would we do this very same things? Then the disciples looked one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned unto him, ask, therefore, that he should ask who it should be. You know, get the inside knowledge. Ask him, who is it? Who? And he did. He said, verse 25, he lying on Jesus' breast. Notice that loving relationship, brethren. That close brother, that being so close. It's like when I hug my son. I want to be close to my son. I want my son to be my buddy, I guess you could. Who is it? He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And no, they didn't know what was going on, brethren. They thought it was they'd be giving money to the poor or something with the money that he had. And he went out. Judas went out. So in verse 31, now, okay, let's see if we can, brethren, I would like to ask the question. If we pressed into the magnitude of Jesus' life and what was going to happen here, and I'd like to take this reading, just a little bit of a reading, and I would like it to flow into chapter 14. But if you could, if you please, let's ignore the chapter break in chapter 14. Let's just ignore that there's a chapter break. Let's just read on in. The word continuity comes to mind. And the context of the situation. In verse 31 of chapter 13. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Straightway. There was no hesitation that the Almighty would glorify his Son. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." Notice he says, "little children. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, and a new commandment, brethren," notice this, "I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest now?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? This is Peter saying, "I will lay down my life." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many. In Greek, that could say mone or minnow. In my Father's house are many mone or minnow. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now here's Thomas. First we had Peter saying something, that he was going to lay down his life. Jesus telling him he was going to deny him. Now we have Thomas. "Lord, we know not whither you goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith, "I am the way." I am the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I looked up the phrase or the two words, "I am the way." It can mean, brethren, course of conduct, manner of thinking, feeling, deciding, or making decisions. Course of conduct. I am the way. The way Jesus lived is the way we have to live. There's no option. Philip asked, "Show us the Father, and we'll be sufficed. It'll suffice us." Jesus saith, Philip says, "Show us the Father." Now, there's a word back up at verse 2 that is in the King James. Actually, it's in most translations. "In my Father's house are many." There's a certain word there, and I don't see where that's repeated down here. "Show us these things." "Have I so been long with you? Have you not known me or seen me, Philip?" the word, I did look this up, and there was a little bit of discussion afterwards. I am not an English major, or Greek, or Hebrew. I used two different Strong's concordances to look up that specific word that's in verse 2. Monet is an adjective. An adjective. The word that you could look at just in plain sight in the translations is a noun. But in Greek, the Greek that I was looking at, and I was told that there's a difference between Old Greek and New Greek. But the Greek that I was looking at, from two different concordances, Monet, the adjective, means a staying, abiding, dwelling, to make one's abode, a remaining, metaphorically of the God, of the God indwelling in believers, the Holy Spirit. The origin of Monet is minnow, according to this this research. Minnow is a verb, a staying that is a residence, the act or place, the act of staying or remaining or abiding or sojourning or tarrying. It means not to depart or to continue, a state or condition to endure or to wait. So, if we take this scene, and if you go on into John 15, 16, and 17, the word abide, abiding, abode, abideth, is so many times, brethren. And I have to wonder if this will make our abode with him. If this thought, if we look at the entire context of what Jesus kept saying over and over, repeated, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Here we have in one verse, abide, 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 three times. This is in John, I think this is 14, John 15, 6 or 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide. And I put a question, where? Where shall we abide? In my love, is what he said. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide, where? In his love. Abiding and remaining, brethren, seems to me, is a way of life. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. When he said, go to prepare a place for you. Yes, a place. Can that mean, brethren, can that mean a purpose? I go to prepare a purpose for you. A duty, a part in the ministry, opportunities. We see that expounded upon, that he gave many apostles, pastors, teachers. He gave gifts of the Spirit. I believe it was Paul or someone said that they would be able to take part in the ministry. So, this the context and the seriousness of what Jesus did, the magnitude. He says later on, "Neither let your." This harmonizes with the first, with that back at the beginning of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. afraid. I can't help but think about the seriousness of what was going to take place here, brethren, because he was giving the promise of a comforter. He was giving the promise. And that did that happen? The outpouring. When Jesus was taken away from them, did they feel a loss? Did they feel lonely? Would we feel lonely? I have to ask that question. If we were there and we saw all of these things that he did and how he was hated and people loved him and believed on him, and now he's not there. So, he's not there. But the Comforter, the power of the Almighty's Holy Spirit. So, brethren, I just wanted to make mention and speak on Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. His hour is coming, and his hour will be coming again when he comes back to the earth. And so we need to be found faithful and found waiting. Waiting for, because we wait on our Lord. We wait because that, I believe he said that we're going to wait on him. We should be waiting on our master. And he's going to, and he'll receive us. Those promises. So brethren, we thank the good Lord. We thank what he did for us through his son. Thank him for his beauty and holiness. May God bless you. Thank you, brethren.